Kale and Company weekday mornings 6 till 10.
Good morning, Kale and Company. News live this morning. We are sponsored by American Heritage Credit Union. Ooh, it's cold outside. 28 degrees outside right now. And this morning, driving in, I realized we were 20 degrees colder early this morning than we were for the high yesterday. So bundle up, brace for this one, because we're back into the deep freeze. In Philadelphia, we have so much news this morning. Want to get to the police investigation. This surrounds a five-year-old little boy who right now is fighting for his life. He's fighting for his life in the hospital, suffering from severe head trauma, hospitalized in extremely critical condition after this horrible car crash in which he was in the car with his mom. She, the mom, allegedly crashed into three other vehicles. So this, according to Philadelphia police, they say the speed appears to be a major factor in this crash. So it looks like the three cars were actually stopped at a traffic light when this crash happened. In other words, the striking vehicle with the five-year-old little boy in it struck these other three cars when they were stopped at a light.
Jeez, she plowed right into them from behind?
That's what it sounds like.
Oh, boy.
And so in this one, it was, by the way, it was last night. Well, I know the accident scene went on late into the night, but it happened around 7:30 at night on Aramango Ave and James Street. So this in the city's Frankfurt section. So they're still investigating this one, asking if there are any other witnesses who could call into police. But we don't know if the little five-year-old boy was wearing his seatbelt. We do know that in one of the vehicles that was struck, there was a father with his six-year-old little girl. She was in the back seat, but thank God the six-year-old child, as well as her dad, they were not injured, all buckled up. But this one under investigation, we don't have any circumstances here as far as what led this mom to, you know, allegedly.
Oh, I think I do. I think I do.
But... Well, what guess would you like, sir?
I don't want to accuse anybody of anything, but three cars, you say, Dawn?
Yes.
Okay.
Top guess on the board. You're saying, what do you think? Distracted driving with the phone?
No. No.
No.
No.
No. DUI?
I mean, you know, okay. I would think that somebody who hit three cars like that may not be in their right state of mind.
Mm.
It's just a guess on my part. Just a guess.
Could be a different substance.
Yeah. Sure. Like
marijuana.
So you're betting on under the influence.
That's my guess.
It's like Family Feud.
Educated guess. Survey says. Greg is probably correct.
Yeah.
Eesh.
I'm gonna go with the cell phone.
No. Not hitting three cars. You know?
Yeah, that's true.
You don't.
At an intersection.
Yeah. Exactly.
So we have that one going on. Also on the New Jersey side, police investigating the death of this New Jersey woman whose body was found in a Pennsylvania in a dumpster. The body of 39-year-old Lucretia Sumba, she's of Elizabeth Union County, was found on the 200 block of South 3rd Street. This is Coopersburg, Lehigh County, just before 6 p.m. It happened over the weekend, but we learned about it yesterday, and especially after the county coroner released some of the autopsy results saying that she died from sharp force injuries, and so now her death has been ruled a homicide.
Oh, did you say Coopersburg?
Yes.
Yeah, that's up my in-law's way, right? It's kind of like a little side pocket town by Quakertown off of Route 309.
And so that's the question, Nick. She's a New Jersey resident.
Yeah.
So she's found all the way. Think about what you're saying. She's from South Jersey, and yet her body's found in a dumpster.
Yeah.
In Lehigh County.
Yeah. Coopersburg, nice little area.
So we have that one going on. This case being investigated by the Union County prosecutors, as well as working with the police there in Elizabeth on the New Jersey side of things. So they're all cooperating with one another across Pennsylvania, New Jersey, just trying to solve what is now a murder, a violent murder. So let's talk about what happened yesterday. This broke mid-morning during an 11:30 news conference. We learned the latest as far as what's going on with regard to that Market East billion-plus-dollar project, renovation project. The mayor of Philadelphia, Sherelle Parker, acknowledging gulp. You know, gulp, didn't see this one coming. Surprised, now pivoting. So she stood with the ownership group of the Philadelphia 76ers, Comcast Spectacor, all the biggity bigs were there, you might say.
Sure.
And officially announcing their new plan for a new arena in South Philadelphia. So Sixers abandoning their plan for a venue in Center City, like I say, Market East. So this was a joint statement, joint news conference, if you will, from Comcast and Harris Blitzer Sports and Entertainment, which owns the Sixers. So Comcast will have the naming rights to the arena. It's slated to open in 2031 with the potential, they say, to open earlier. Now, Chinatown groups and those business groups, advocacy groups, they were celebrating the cancellation of the Sixers arena deal that they said would have impacted them and the culture of Chinatown, traffic, etc. But as far as the new arena that will also be the home of the Philadelphia Flyers and will host touring acts, special events. Comcast obviously owns the Flyers as well as the Wells Fargo Center. So both teams currently play there. So this is a partnership, they say, 50-50 partnership, a venture to invest in the revitalization of the city's Market East section. So they're still going to do something, they say, in a 50-50 way to renovate the city's Market East station section. But the Sixers proposed 76 Place Arena would have been built there. It won't be built there.
So if it's going to be built in South Philadelphia, are we of the belief that it's going to be in the same sports complex? Is it going to be in that, you know,
in the sports complex,
in, you know, the concrete jungle?
Yes.
Okay.
So they're just doing a rebuild.
Yeah, which is
where they were.
Okay. So they're not tearing down the Wells Fargo Center.
I don't have that.
Okay.
I infer that, but I, like you said yesterday,
yeah,
that seems like a waste.
I mean, I think they should do with that area, with the Link, Citizens Bank Park, and Wells Fargo Center, they should make it, if you're all about trying to add shopping and dining and make it an entertainment district in addition to a sporting complex, they should take the blueprint. Look it up one day when you have a chance. Look up the Battery. It's where the Atlanta Braves stadium is. And it's this, like, there's these little sidewalks and there's these little restaurants and, you know, different little clubs and bars. And it's, you know, something that you can go to year round, even when the Braves baseball stadium is closed in the off season. So I would think you could do that. Although if you did that in South Philadelphia, you're probably going to, you know, minimize the available parking that you have, which is already a disaster. But if you're going to have something built for 2031, and you're going to tear down the Wells Fargo Center, you're going to reduce parking for the next 7 years. Because if you've got a construction project happening that doesn't get built in 1 year, that place is going to be unbearable if you're going to Citizens Bank Park this spring, for example, or 3 summers from now. It's going to be a disaster down there.
And so that's just it. You know, they had talked about Atlanta was one of the examples.
Oh, it's unbelievable. It's the modern way you should do it now.
And so I think that was the inspiration for what you're talking about.
Yep.
So I know there's a lot of reaction from all sides of this. Yesterday, Dan Borowski said these are billionaires who played everybody and just got what they wanted at the end.
He's 100% correct.
So
he's 100% correct. This we were the Sixers wanted what they wanted from Comcast, and we were all the pawns in it.
Mm-hmm.
That's the answer.
Yeah.
There was never a shot that they were going to Chinatown. Not a shot.
And it's still going to be privately funded, correct?
That's yes.
Okay.
During this, I think, to be very honest, is all we heard about in city council as they moved forward was, hey, we want $50 million. No, we want $100 million for the community impact. And I simply think that the money was being thrown around like Monopoly money. This is a safer bet, but they'll still donate and still, they did buy some buildings along Market East.
Mm-hmm.
So I actually think it's about the deal, and I think this was a better deal for everybody.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm just saying.
Yeah.
That's my take on it. I don't necessarily think it's what they, I'm not saying it was their goal all along, but I think as it materialized, I was covering this and watching it.
Yeah.
And I got to tell you, I was like, really, they're going for this?
Right.
City council's like, we want another, $100 million here, $100 million. We want this. We want that. At some point, you say to yourself, wow, let's just throw in the kitchen sink. I mean, it was just, it seemed over the top.
Yeah. It's also going to create competition amongst the franchises now for fighting for, you know, your entertainment dollar. Because if the Sixers and Flyers are trotting out the new, trendy, shiny object in 2031, well, that's going to be 27 years removed since the Link opened. The Link's going to have to, you know, modernize their amenities and their appeal. Same thing with Citizens Bank Park. Citizens Bank Park right now, I would say, is the gem of the city when it comes to the sports complexes. There's just something great about Citizens Bank Park that's kind of lacking with Lincoln Financial Field. Lincoln Financial Field's like a metal, there's no charm to the Link. A lot of charm to Citizens Bank Park.
Well, we have that going on, which is nice.
Yep.
We'll learn more. The deal, though, is that the mayor said, she did say yesterday that, because they were saying, oh, we have the deal in place and we'll commit to the revitalization. The mayor made the statement during the news conference yesterday that they'll start over with negotiation. So we'll watch that for you. And there's a lot to follow up on here. I know we're going to get into this, but I will headline this for you. That in the wee hours of this morning, we get the report from DOJ releasing the report of former special counsel Jack Smith on the investigation into Trump, saying in the statement in his report, Smith says his office fully stands behind the decision to charge President-elect Trump criminally, and saying that he would have been able to charge and prove that Trump committed, and I'm quoting here, election interference. So Department of Justice making public the volume one of Special Counsel Jack Smith's final report on True Social. I think Trump wrote something like, and I'm paraphrasing here, but he's a lame brain loser or something to that effect.
So 4 years later, 3 days after his official resignation, and 6 days before Trump returns to the White House, the report comes out and says, I could have proven it if given the opportunity.
Yes.
It's interesting how that report never came out until, or at least until this process began, until Trump decided to run for re-election 2 years ago.
Yeah.
All right, Jack, you had all of 21 and 22, pal. What were you waiting on? Oh, that's right. You weren't appointed until 2022.
Smith said in his conclusion that the parties were determining whether any material in the, quote, superseding indictment was subject to presidential immunity. When it became clear that Trump had won the 2024 election, the department then determined the case must be dismissed before Trump takes office because of how it interprets the Constitution.
The best part of this story is the fact that almost 80 million people voted for Trump, and now you want to put out a report as if, like, it's really going to impact anything. Like, America has already spoken, right? You selected Trump. You really think people care, like, about what's in your report? Now, the far left people that think Trump shouldn't be in office will probably care about it, but yeah, this will be one of those things that people just gloss over.
Well, Trump caught it, so this was I would assume that the Trump team, you know, was given a heads up that this was coming out.
Oh, sure.
And so in this early morning post this morning on Truth Social, he called Smith desperate, deranged for releasing fake findings and in the middle of the night.
Who releases anything late at night of significance, right? You know, we always talk about like the Friday news dump and things like that. The timing of when things come out kind of tell you, like, as a spoiler alert as to what is actually substantive and what is not, right?
Yeah, and he resigned over the weekend.
Yeah.
So what, 4 business days essentially before the inauguration.
That's right. We had in the big take yesterday.
And for today, you think about what happens today with Pete Hegseth and others. Confirmation hearings begin in the Senate.
Yep.
So we have that going on. And obviously the big story for us to celebrate this morning that we alluded to in right when we started off, and that was that Philadelphia Eagles face the Rams. Tickets to see the Eagles play in the NFL divisional round go on sale this morning, 10 o'clock this morning. Tickets can only be purchased online at Ticketmaster.com. So officials saying there's a four-ticket limit per household. All tickets will be available on a first-come, first-served basis.
Yeah, six-point favorites. Six-point favorite. Woo! Final home game of the year, folks.
3 p.m. this Sunday, the 19th. Eagles face the L.A. Rams. And the winner of the game, obviously, will move on to the NFC Championship game.
Which means we will go to Detroit and lay a beat down in the Motor City. Calling it now. Calling
I hope
shot.
You're right.
Yep.
We are sponsored by American Heritage Credit Union. Earn up to 4% cash back with an American Heritage Cash Reward MasterCard on essential items such as groceries, gas, pharmacies, and home improvement stores. Visit AmericanHeritageCU.org/cashback. Insured by NCUA, not a member. Join today. Equal Opportunity Lender, Kellen Company News Live.
All right, Dawn, thank you very much. 622, let's get to a Tuesday Big Take.
The Big Take. On Kale and Company.
Brought to you by the Piazza Auto Group. It is the Hollywood blame game because the process never changes. It usually begins with a tragedy or a natural disaster. Thoughts and prayers, that's the first line of rhetoric. And then it becomes political. Things get divisive, backstabbing occurs, and then the outlandish and the outrageous takes place. And that's where we are with the current devastation of the wildfires in Los Angeles, California. Things have gone from bad to worse for Democrats in the last handful of months, from losing the election to losing their audience on television. Democrats in the mainstream media in constant free fall, and they continue to stay dug in. But Hollywood has been firing back at these failed policies, and now even the owner of the LA Times is ripping his city's elected officials. Here is Dr. Patrick Soon-Shiong saying that he regrets his political endorsement of Mayor Karen Bass. Listen and watch.
First of all, we'll accept some blame, right? So at the LA Times, we endorse Karen Bass. I think right now up front, that's a mistake, and we admit that. So I thought it was very early, important early on for me to come out, and I think we were one of the few to say competence matters. Got like maybe 20, 23 million views to show how that was really dear to the heart of most people, whether you're right or left. And it's an interesting thing is that maybe we should think about how we elect people on the basis of, did they actually run a job? Did they actually make a payroll? Do they understand what it is? And rather than having professional politicians whose only job is really to run for office, I'm not trying to be disparaging, but I think we are at the stage now of the nation and the world, and there's many things we'll talk about even in healthcare, that you really need people to understand how it affects a man in the street, you know, how it affects the working type of person. And I think President Trump in this election has understood that, and he's become truly a Republican Party, as you said. He's become the Democratic Party in terms of addressing the problems of the man in the street. So competence absolutely matters. And I'm glad that that's been taken up as almost a meme now, that competence matters.
How about that? Merit, competence, results for the people. Not just being a professional campaigner every election cycle. 4 years ago, it was Black Lives Matter. 4 years later, it's competence matters. And keep in mind, LA Times owner Dr. Patrick Soon-Shiong, who just was played right there, refused to endorse Kamala Harris with his newspaper this past fall. Dr. Patrick had said on October 30th, quote, "I fear that picking one candidate over another would only exacerbate already deep divisions in the country," end quote. Translation, Kamala Harris is in over her head, but I can't publicly come out and back Donald Trump. Same approach Jeff Bezos took with The Washington Post. Gavin Newsom, Karen Bass, they don't want to be facing the heat. And they've made that abundantly clear. So who is to blame? Well, according to CNN's Harry Enten, people around the country are not, I repeat, are not blaming climate change. Listen and watch this.
I don't think Americans are making this connection. And the way we can see this in right here and now, take a look at the monthly change in Google searches. Look at the searches for wildfire. Up 2,400%. My goodness gracious. This is the most amount of people searching for wildfires ever ever, going back since Google Trends began back in 2004. But look at climate change. Look at the change. It doesn't go hand in hand with wildfires. It's actually down. It's down 9%. And I also looked in California. There has been no increase in the number of searches for climate change. So the bottom line is this. Americans are definitely interested in learning about these wildfires. They're interested in following the news about the wildfires, but they are not making that connection with climate change. That's the bottom line.
So how about that? No increase in climate change searches in California where the tragedy is occurring. And you know why? Perhaps? Well, this is just a possible theory, but I subscribe to it. Citizens in California are more disgusted by and impacted from the policies of far-left radical progressive Democrats than they are by any changes in weather patterns, temperatures, wind gusts, or natural disasters. There's a reason why California has led the way, being the number one spot for U-Haul exoduses from the state for five consecutive years. And I'd bet my paycheck on wildfires not being a top five reason for them fleeing. In fact, news coming down from the LA Times suggesting that the cause is almost certainly the result of a human being starting the fire. They report, quote, "What sparked the Palisades fire? A beloved hiking trail may hold the grim answers. The origin point of the Palisades fire could be around a beloved hiking trail with ocean views and where another fire was sparked days earlier. Here is what we know. Hikers and outdoor enthusiasts have long been drawn to Skull Rock, north of Sunset Boulevard in Pacific Palisades, a relatively short hike on the Temescal Ridge Trail, which reveals the skeletal-shaped Skull Rock and dramatic Pacific Ocean views. Now, this area is the subject of an investigation as a potential starting point for the Palisades fires, which burned thousands of structures last week. It's unclear where the fire started, and its cause is under investigation. The general area was the site of a small fire, on New Year's Eve that burned for a few hours before fire officials said they snuffed it out with help from water-dropping helicopters. Sources with knowledge of the investigation told the Times that officials are aware of the earlier fire and its general proximity to the Palisades fire. They are looking into whether that could be the cause. Because the area is frequented by the public, the sources said it's possible a new fire was somehow sparked there on Tuesday. The earlier fires appear to be sparked by fireworks. As for the Palisades fire, the sources who spoke on the condition of anonymity because they were not authorized to speak publicly said it appears to have human origins, but that the investigation is ongoing. And speaking of that, The Wall Street Journal with a column, headline, "Bad Policy Served as Kindling for California's Wildfires. Bad Forest and Water Management, Misplaced Priorities, and Price Controls Have All Played a Role." And here's the key excerpt from the column. The Wall Street Journal reports, prior to 1800, California lost on average 4.5 million acres to fires every year. As we introduce scientific land management and fire suppression measures, by the end of the 20th century, that average of 4.5 million dropped to around 250,000 acres. Massive drop-off. But in 2020, California suffered a single-year loss of 4.3 million acres to wildfires. In fact, between 2019 and 2023, an average of more than 1.5 million acres burned each year. So what happened? The left blames climate change, but that doesn't explain California's long history with massive wildfires or why the fires became less threatening throughout most of the 20th century. And if climate change is not the culprit, well, then who could be? Well, according to Gavin Newsom, it's Elon Musk and it's Donald Trump. But it doesn't stop with the governor of California, who is in desperation mode to save his failing political career. The blame game has also now shifted on lamestream media. And that would include MSNBC's Jen Psaki, who also blamed the incoming administration. Listen and watch this.
"And with these fires still burning, we are facing important questions about how to mitigate and prevent disasters like this in the future. Fact is, leaders will need to confront a very complicated and challenging reality moving forward. But right now, that is not exactly what is happening. Instead, Donald Trump and his allies are injecting half-truths, misinformation, and flat out lies in some cases in order to score a version of political points, I suppose. We saw something similar play out just this past October in the aftermath of Hurricanes Helene and Milton, when Trump repeatedly lied about FEMA spending disaster relief funds on migrants, which didn't happen. Also baselessly claiming that the Biden administration was absent and incompetent in delivering aid, despite what elected officials of both parties on the ground said. Those lies were then spread and amplified by the richest man in the world on the social media site that he owns. So I guess none of us should have been shocked this week when Elon Musk posted that the Los Angeles Fire Department prioritized DEI over saving lives and homes. That's an exact quote.
And I guess I shouldn't be shocked by Jen Psaki or anybody on MSNBC. But let me see if I can follow along, because I want to get this right. When Trump's in office, if something good happens, it's because, well, he inherited what Obama gave him. When Trump's in office and something bad happens, it is 100% his fault. When Trump's not in office, it's still his fault, and his words are far worse than the failed policies of those responsible. And when Trump is on his way back into office, what he says, true, false, or partially correct, takes precedence and priority over the abject failures of two left-wing politicians, Karen Bass and Gavin Newsom. Did I summarize that correctly? They still don't get it. And they're never going to learn. As Trump is 6 days away from returning, it is over for Karen Bass. She'll be ousted. The 71-year-old who was elected in 2022 is going to be one and done. And for Gavin Newsom, I would argue it's curtains as well. In my opinion, he's almost got no chance of holding office again in the capacity he currently serves or his presidential aspirations. This tragedy is the dagger in the California coffin. And that's the big take.
The Big Take on Kale and Company.
Brought to you by the great folks at the Piazza Auto Group. Right now, you can get special 0% financing for up to 72 months on the new 2024 Volkswagen Tiguan or the ID4 electric SUV. Visit Piazza Volkswagen of Langhorne or Piazza Volkswagen of Ardmore at its new location, 205 East Lancaster Avenue. 855-839-1210. If you want to jump in, we'll come back, get thoughts and reactions on this, as well as the Associated Press saying, you know what, wildfires, there's an element of racism to them. Back after this on a Tuesday. It's Kale and Company on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
This is the Kale and Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and on the free Odyssey app.
Don Stenslin, we have reports from the Los Angeles Times that this could be man-made. We have Americans with data from Mr.
Holy cow.
Harry Enten himself, where Americans are not saying this is a climate change thing. They're not searching for climate change, but make no mistake about it, the usual suspects are more bothered by what Trump says or what Elon Musk posts on X than they are perhaps the politicians almost directly responsible for this. Your thoughts?
It shows you what people, what I guess ordinary people, all of us, what we care about, what we look into, versus what people living in the bubble care about or want or think that they can influence us.
It's a great point.
And so, because everybody wants to know that there were reports that it had to do with the power company, with what, Edison, that there are reports of that. There are all kinds of reports, but everybody wants to know what caused this thing in the first place. And then why couldn't they put it out? Why couldn't they deal with it? They're really basic questions.
Mm-hmm.
It's like journalism 101. You know what I mean? Who, what, when, where, why, mm-hmm. You know? So I just think it's one more example of officials or people in the media who think that, first of all, they can influence the rest of us. They cannot. And we see through them. And this is just one more example. And by the way, if you think about climate change, my goodness, think about the poor air quality. I mean, these are you seeing people wearing masks that you would wear if you were a worker on an industrial site.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where masks do matter, because you don't want to breathe in that crud.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, exactly. And it's one of these things, too, where, look, you know, is the climate changing? Is temperatures and weather patterns? Is there... But weather has evolved and morphed and changed since, like, the beginning of time. So I'm not one of these people that says, well, climate change is a hoax. I mean, like, there's some truth to different patterns that are different from 1972 versus 1623. But everything being an existential threat to the civilization of Americans, like, I think that's, to your point, is we've rejected the fear porn, right? You know what's an existential threat in my life? Eggs being $8 a carton. That's my threat.
This whole thing is just the Karen Basses, it's the Gavin Newsoms wanting to shift blame to somebody other than themselves.
Yep.
If you really look back on this timeline, and I did a kind of a deep dive on this last night, because I was just like, when you have an organization like the LA Times coming out and being like, this isn't what you guys think it is. You know what I mean? Like, this isn't the, climate change making everything worse. This is, if you really look at it, as of January 1st, there were some meteorologists, weather people saying, guys, this area is ripe for these fires and the winds that we're going to, you know, these Santa Ana winds that California, that part of California has had forever.
Mm-hmm.
Literally, they're like, this is a recipe for disaster. They had press conferences starting January 2nd and they did nothing about it. Karen Bass went to Ghana. So for them to say anything other than, you know what? This could be potentially bad. Mm-hmm. We know getting up to those areas, those cliffs in the Pacific Palisades, is catastrophic. Maybe we should, what's the harm in having a bunch of firefighters up there on standby just in case something happens?
Yeah.
Nothing was prepared for.
Nothing.
The reservoir was dry. There was no precautions taken. So when you have people like Whoopi Goldberg, who said, look, this is just, this stuff happens. No, it doesn't. It does in the fact that, like, California, one of the great things about Southern California is the weather. You have this picture-perfect weather. But also with that picture-perfect weather, you get these extremes. You get the, you get mudslides when it rains too much, and you get this dry, these wildfires because it's so dry there all the time.
Mm-hmm.
That's the price of living in paradise.
No different than Florida, right?
Yes.
You want 70 plus degrees year round. Okay, but the trade-off for that is come hurricane season, it really sucks.
And you can see the politicians kind of backing off from the climate change thing. They kind of went full bore into it, and then they're like, well, we can't really blame ourselves, so we don't really want to go too far down this climate change, because now even the Los Angeles Times is coming out and saying that these trails there, people start fires. What I mean? Like, there's homeless encampments there with people on meth who think it's hysterical to start fires.
Mm-hmm.
There's all these kind of issues that are happening in Southern California that are not climate change. That is the cause for all this. And
pyromaniacs on meth is a bad combination.
Yeah, but the New York Times had that big article yesterday saying that they went through and tracked since the 1970s. How many of these fires by the thousands were sparked by power lines? And there's a push to put everything, underground, make it wireless, etc.
Mm-hmm.
But that all of these, and wasn't that the case that they learned in Hawaii?
Yeah.
Those horrible fires that they were actually...
Maui.
In that one, I mean, we don't have, the exact cause as far as maybe there were multiple causes. But in this one, it looks like the power lines played a major role.
Yeah, I remember as soon as this story broke out last week, Bernie Sanders rushing to a camera, Bernie Sanders rushing to X. If this isn't proof that climate change is real, I don't know what is, right? But yet, if you have the New York Times and the LA Times basically obliterating your theory on climate change being the culprit, maybe you should actually just look yourself in the mirror and realize It is the failure of leadership. And it's just, it's so infuriating as somebody who's never been in leadership or management or at the top overseeing a group of people, whether appointed, hired, or elected, when they don't, when they always want to take the credit and do the victory lap when times are good, and then they tuck their leg between their tails when things are bad. That's the act, that's an act of cowardice. Own up, admit it. It's not Trump's fault. It's not Elon Musk's fault. Okay, it's not climate change. It's you were unprepared in a region that is known for their wildfires. I mean, if you were to do like the top 10 or 20 things that Southern California is known for, yep, wildfires are going to be on that list. Right?
Yep. 100%.
So I don't get it.
They say the New York Times article that they went through since 1999. And they said of the 20 most destructive California wildfires, at least 8 of those were caused by power-related causes and these power lines.
Because they don't clear the dry brush around them,
yeah,
and they spark fires.
Well, yeah, why don't we start allocating resources to a bunch of landscapers that maybe aren't afraid of high-risk situations or sloped hills or mountains or whatever it is. And why don't we clear that brush out on an annual basis whenever wildfires are in, I don't know, is wildfire season a thing, like hurricane season?
It is, but this is not fire season. I'll also point out that as far as the Eaton fire goes, the Altadena, California residents, they filed the lawsuit on Monday against Southern California Edison, claiming the utility's electrical equipment set off the Eaton fire.
Yep.
And that burned, you know, more than 13,000 acres, 5,000 structures in the city and some neighboring areas.
Okay.
So it's still all under investigation.
Gotcha. 855-839-1210. And that leads us to the Associated Press, who is this story's big winner on the first outlet, the first media publication, to say racism. That is correct. The AP says California wildfires are racist, citing, quote, a headline, California wildfires could be leaving deeper inequality in their wake. Their argument is that the wildfires have not just affected, quote, celebrity mansions and movie landmarks, but also black families who moved to the area to avoid racism. They write, a drive through the charred neighborhoods around Altadena shows that the fires are also burned through a remarkable haven for generations of black families, avoiding discriminatory housing practices everywhere. They have been communities of racial and economic diversity where many people have owned their own homes. So wait a minute. Let me just, because I'm having like Kathy Hochul flashbacks in my mind. Is that like some breaking news story that you're surprised, or you're of the belief that a black person cannot own a home, that they are not wealthy enough or talented enough or capable of saving enough money or having a good enough credit score to actually purchase a home? That's what the AP is implying when I read that. And I'm having flashbacks to when Kathy Hochul was talking about how young black children don't know what a computer is. Can you imagine? Remember when she said that in 2024, young black children do not know what a computer is? That is a racist statement. So it's amazing how racist the Associated Press can come off, or any of these news outlets, when they make statements like this, because they're looking at everything through the prism of identity politics and racism. And I'm very confused. And we should have a deep investigation on this. Joe Biden again yesterday said that climate change is the biggest existential threat to civilization. I could have sworn just a few months ago, white supremacy was the biggest threat to America and civilization.
I thought Trump was the danger.
Well, Trump is Hitler. Yes, okay. And Trump represents white supremacy. So I'm just trying to figure out if it's climate change or white supremacy that is the biggest thing we need to eradicate in America and around the globe. But leave it to the Associated Press. And I know, Dawn, you're the journalist. You know, I could have sworn there was a time, and I'm looking at this from a sports perspective. I remember in high school, in college, and when I got out and I worked at the newspaper my mom worked at, And even afterwards, the Associated Press was always the outlet where, like, if you worked or you operated a small newspaper and you didn't have the budget to allocate for a reporter on every single beat to cover every team or every story, or to do a culture reporter or an economics reporter, you leaned on and you banked on the Associated Press. You'll always see, even in, like, you know, local papers, the Morning Call up in the Lehigh Valley, the Star Ledger in New Jersey, a lot of times they default to the AP because the AP has more resources. Now the AP is nothing more than left-wing propaganda. I don't know when that happened. Maybe they're the last big outlet to jump in on the bandwagon with, you know, the Washington Post, the New York Times, the Philadelphia Inquirer. But the Associated Press, from a print standpoint, is the equivalent of MSNBC now. And it's really sad to see, as somebody that actually at one point thought about pursuing writing and being a journalist and being a sports writer. And one thing I actually looked up was, how do I get a job writing for the Associated Press? But they say California wildfires are racist. There you go. And how about this last story? This is amazing. So in L.A., now, I don't know how the Sun gets a story like this, but they do. And I'm surprised that this hasn't been reported, because the Sun is a U.K. publication and media outlet. Did you know that during these wildfires, the California Department of Corrections and Rehabilitation has deployed 931 incarcerated firefighters and 114 support staff? They are paying prison inmates in the California penal system. Get ready for this. They earn between $5.80 and $10.24, not per hour, per day.
Wow, that's probably a ton of money in the joint.
Phil Omquist is putting in his 2 weeks and going to fight fires.
Isn't that slave labor?
I was just going to say that. So we're using inmates in Mexico.
Yes.
To fight these fires.
And the incarcerated people are working in 24-hour shifts.
Oh, my God.
You talk about hard labor. If that doesn't set you straight and get you back on track and prevent recidivism, I don't know what will.
Are we really in that bad of shape? Really? I
mean, we saw the plane. You played the clip yesterday.
Yeah.
We had to resort to Mexico. And that's where I was the most angry, was I got to hear about California being the fifth biggest economy, not in the country, but on the planet. And we're resorting to Mexico, who clearly Trump wants to finish the wall, seal the border, stop the cartels, things like that. But now we need them to help us fight fires. And we need people sitting in the joint with felonies on their record,
wow,
coming out for $7.22 a day and working 24-hour shifts.
That is unbelievable.
How'd you like to be the probation officer or the parole officer or the case manager, and you say, hey, Bob, you got 18 more months left, but you know, if you want a little extra scratch on the side, you hear about those wildfires that everybody's talking about in the can? You want to go fight them?
Why couldn't we use those people to have gone and cleared the brush?
Yes. How about that?
Before the wildfires
happened. Put them to good use, right?
Yeah.
Well,
we're paying for it.
All of these wealthy, here's what I don't understand. All these people in California, because Larry, when he did Access Hollywood, lived in Toluca Lake. And so wherever you would go, whether it's Malibu, whether you go to Palisades, all these people have landscapers. They're not going out and doing their own yard work.
You don't think so?
Like I do.
Yeah.
Greg doesn't either.
I don't know. Absolutely not.
So I don't understand why all these people don't just have their landscaper and their lawn guys clear the brush.
I think it's because they get fined.
I think Greg's exactly right. So I think it's a whole environmental thing.
Yeah, like because you might disturb a habitat of a frog.
Geez.
A frog or a little louse or a mouse or whatever.
Yeah.
I'm serious.
Yeah.
So
no, I believe you.
So they can't do anything. So you have all of this brush that's, you know, 6 months without rain.
Yeah.
It's a kindling, you know, worst nightmare.
Hey, like, I get it. You know, I'm not anti-animal. I'm not anti-pet. I understand the way, you know, ecosystems work, and you need this animal to take care of that animal so this can bloom and this can survive. Like, I get it. But can we get some of our priorities straight? Can we prioritize humanity over, like, random, obtuse animals that the average person, A, doesn't know about, and B, couldn't care less about? I don't know. I think preserving your property might actually be more paramount than maybe saving the smeltfish or any other animal hanging out in the shrubs of Beverly Hills.
I'm just, you know, because we went through, California went through some pretty horrific wildfires in the 90s. And I think like a lot of Malibu and stuff was destroyed when that happened. And or maybe not Malibu, but somewhere in that area.
Yeah.
And I'm just wondering, because it doesn't seem like they've learned anything since then.
No. Nope.
And I wonder if we're going to... if this is kind of a reckoning, an awakening for a lot of the residents, because I believe that those wildfires in the 90s only did, I say only, but compared to what's happening now, I think it was only like 700 or 800 homes destroyed.
Okay.
And now you're in the, 12,000 or something like that? It is...
I just can't see it being any worse than this, right?
So do you think now... California is like, okay, we need something to change, or they're just gonna
they'll rebuild
and that'll be the end of it.
They'll rebuild. It'll take all of these years, and then tragedy will happen again 5 years from now, 50 years from now. But yeah, they'll do the same thing. They're gonna try to do the same thing the next time we have a pandemic.
Yeah.
They're gonna run the same playbook.
Yeah.
Masks, vaccines, lockdowns.
That's why I know in your big take and yesterday, Nick, you said that you think this is the end of Gavin Newsom's political career. I don't think so.
I think it's the end for him, but there's somebody else that will come in and run the same playbook.
No, I think people have short memories and short, you know, in a year we'll forget all about this. And, you know, Gavin Newsom will crack a smile and, you know, give his hand gestures like the psychopath he is. And you know, we'll forget all about it.
Is he in his second term? I have to look that up. Because the reason I say it's over for him is the only place he can go from here is up. And the only place that he can go from here being up being, obviously, his presidential aspirations. I just cannot see him going from what he has done to California to winning the presidency of the United States unless for some unforeseen circumstances and for some bizarre, ungodly reason that Trump and J.D. Vance are biblical disasters and nothing changes in this country over the next 4 years. I just can't imagine with the... because the... you look at Gavin Newsom's approval rating. It is very, very low. I think he was at 37%. I mean, that's lower than what Joe was at some point. So
remember, Newsom, they tried to recall him.
Right.
But he still won. That was in 2021.
Okay. He's only 57 years old, by the way. I would have thought he was older than that.
He looks good. He's doing the testosterone, no doubt.
This is not the end of Gavin Newsom. I'm telling you guys, this is not the end of Gavin Newsom. We're going to see a lot more of him. And I would not be surprised to see him in the Dems hopper in a couple of years.
That speaks volumes about their hopper.
One headline, Newsweek, Gavin Newsom recall process could start this week with Karen Bass next. That was a headline last night.
He is in his second term, by the way. He won re-election in 2022.
After the recall thing.
Yeah, he got 59% of the vote. All right, 855-839-1210, the number. We'll get to some news to kick off hour number two, and then we'll do a little transition to Donald Trump as the Philadelphia Inquirer says, hey, John Fetterman, stay away from the orange, man. Not good for your future. Plus, a country superstar comes out. What does it mean moving forward that she will be performing and appearing at Trump's inauguration? And, of course, the meltdowns that are guaranteed to ensue. Kale and Company, Hour 2 is next.
Start your day with Kale and Company. Weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and the free Odyssey app.